Dear Father, we pray now that you come through your Spirit to God. Minister to our hearts and mind. Touch those that are sick in body, those that have needs. We pray that you minister them today to God. And we will not fail to give you the glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's kind of funny the things that stick in your mind from your childhood. I was in the third grade, and one of my favorite things about third grade was I love social studies, I love history, and none of my kids share my joy or love for that. But in third grade, you did county history, and one of the field trips that we took was we would walk from our elementary school, and we'd walk to several of the historic sites in Fayette County, and I can remember we were walking across Fifth Street Bridge in Connersville, and there was a lottery ticket there on the ground, and one of my classmates picked it up and, you know, was going on and on about the lottery ticket. And as a young third grade child, now keep in mind my background was pretty strict. I came out of the Pentecostal movement, which, you know, everything in the Pentecostal movement is a sin. So I went on to inform this kid that, you know, you shouldn't really do anything with that lottery ticket. Playing the lottery is a sin. And I think the teacher actually reached out to my mom, and she just said, "Hey, I'm proud of him for standing up for what he believes in." But, you know, as I've grown, I realize that some of the things we label as sin are not necessarily sin. So would I say that playing the lottery today is a sin? Absolutely not. But I think there is a why, and today, I'm sorry, for you people that have never been here before, we're talking about money, and, you know, I hate preaching about money. I do it not very often, but I couldn't avoid it. But there's a wise way to view money, and there's a foolish way to view money. So this is kind of a topical. As we get into this second part of Proverbs, it's going to be all topical because that's how Solomon wrote these Proverbs, how they were collected. And I came across, as I was reading through these, Proverbs chapter 30, verses 7-9 says this: "Two things I ask of you, Lord, do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me." Now pay attention to this. "Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or I may become poor and still and so dishonor the name of my God." Now, I really dove into these verses and like kind of thought about them for a while because I think these verses speak to the struggle that we see surrounding the theological diversity in our culture when it comes to how we view wealth and money. And what these verses indicate is that there is a balance that should be found in how we understand wealth. But I'll be honest with you, this balance is not easily found when you look at how different churches, different theological movements view money. Because on one side of the spectrum, we have those who preach a prosperity gospel. And then on the other side, at the other end of the spectrum, we have those that preach what we could label as an austerity gospel. So the prosperity gospel is one that promotes the accumulation of wealth. Kind of their trademark is, you know, when you know you're favored by God when you're healthy, wealthy, and wise. On the other side, the austerity gospel, it's the exact opposite. And they claim that the true mark of discipleship is becoming completely destitute. And this was kind of the movement early in the church. Those monks that went off to live in poverty, they were the opposite of the prosperity gospel. And they thought you had to give everything up and have nothing to your name to be close to Christ. But Proverbs teaches us that there are pitfalls associated with both of these viewpoints. On the one hand, having too much can lead us to disown God or fail to recognize our need for Him. On the other hand, having too little can cause us or can lead us into behavior that dishonors God. So the question, or I think the kind of the topic or the point we want to address today is, in a world where cash is king, Proverbs helps us to be wise in the way that we view money and wealth. And so we're going to dive into that. This is the first time in this series that we're really getting into the second part of this book. So remember, it's three parts. The first part is, it really doesn't contain any Proverbs. It contains speeches and poems, and it's all about seeking wisdom, looking for wisdom above all else. And then we're getting into the second part, and this is where we get into the actual Proverbs, those kind of one-liners that are meant to think about and ruminate on and help us understand what life looks like, a wise life versus a foolish life. And I think it's interesting that when we get into this second part, starts with chapter 10, right out of the gate, Solomon deals with money and wealth. That's what comes into his focus. I know people always get a little uneasy and nervous anytime you hear anybody preach or talk about money. And for you new folks, I really don't do it that often. I think I can count on one hand the number of times that I've preached about money in my 6 years here at Hannah's Creek. So that's less than one time a year. It just so happens that today's one of those days. The reality is, Proverbs really touches on money and wealth a lot. And a lot of commentators will tell you that Jesus actually teaches more about money than he does about heaven or hell. I'm not going to go into a deep dive into all of the times Proverbs mentions money. We're not going to look at all of the one-line Proverbs that deal with money or wealth. But as I sat in line at the state fair, waiting to get into the barn, I was sitting there with my Bible open. Everybody else, you know, is walking around, and I'm sitting there in the scorching heat of my truck, melting down, studying and writing and taking notes. I really feel like I was led to three principles that we can easily apply to our lives when it comes to money and wealth. And those are the three things that I want to talk about this morning. So the first principle that I think we can glean from these texts is this: there is a wise way to gain wealth. There is a wise way to gain wealth. If you look at Proverbs chapter 10, verse 2, you kind of see that Solomon indicates, hey, there's two ways that you can gain wealth. And he says this in verse 2, ill-gotten treasures have no lasting value, but righteousness delivers from death. And the reality is, we live in a world that's obsessed not just with money, but we live in a world that's obsessed with get-rich-quick schemes. I did some research, and I found that in the year 2021, Americans spent just over $105 billion on lottery tickets alone. All right, now, I want to, if you buy lottery tickets, that's okay. That's your thing, whatever. I don't think that's a sin. But I do think the lottery is like a way that people feel like, hey, I can get rich really quick without doing a lot of work. And we are told stories over and over of people that have become overnight success stories. Or we watch game shows that promise big payouts for one night of competition. You know, I remember when Who Wants to Be a Millionaire came out, and I kept thinking, man, how cool would that be to get on that show, and for one night, you could get $1 million. But this is what Proverbs chapter 13, verse 11 says. So we're going to skip around a lot. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 11 says this: wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it. Which is the exact opposite of what our kind of our culture pushes us towards, right? It's not about getting rich quickly. It's about gaining wealth over a long period of time. So the question that this principle led me to, there's a wise way to gain wealth. The question that it led me to is, how do we righteously gain wealth? And the first thing I want you to understand when it comes to gaining wealth the wise way is, number one, you have to be diligent. Another way to say this is we have to make hay when the sun is shining. For all you farmers out there, you know what I'm talking about. Proverbs chapter 10, verses 4 through 5 says this: lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. He who gathers crops in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son. You have to be diligent. You have to take advantage of opportunities when they arise. You got to make hay when the sun is shining. The second thing we can learn from Proverbs about gaining wealth the wise way is that we have to be diligent. And number two, we have to make a plan. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 5 says, the plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. So we have to make a plan. It's not something that happens overnight. You have to be diligent. You have to make a plan. And the third thing, this really flies in the face of our culture right now. The third thing about gaining wealth the wise way is you have to work hard for it. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 23 says, All hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. Most of you know that prior to going into full-time ministry, I ran a small business, and I will tell you that the biggest hurdle that we had, and ultimately why I got rid of the small business, was because we could not find people willing to work. This is the story of our culture right now. Anywhere you go, there's a staffing shortage because people are not willing to work. But biblically, what we are told is gaining wealth the wise way means that we have to be willing to work hard for it. Actually, the word that's used in Hebrew is toilsome, labor. And it's related to the labor pains of a woman giving birth. And this is the kind of effort that Solomon tells his son, if you want to gain wealth the wise way, you have to be willing to labor, to toil for that wealth. And the fourth thing I want to point out about gaining wealth the wise way is that it can never be gained at someone else's expense. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 16 says, one who oppresses the poor to increase his wealth, and one who gives gift to the rich, both come to poverty. And what that tells us is that if we are seeking to gain wealth the wise way, we have to be very cautious of how we treat others in gaining that wealth. Unfortunately, some of the most successful business models in this country are built on gaining wealth at the expense of other people. And Solomon is very cautious and tells his son, listen, be careful. Don't oppress the poor to increase your wealth. Don't give gifts to the rich to gain their favor, but do it honestly. So the first principle is this: there is a wise way to gain wealth. The second thing that I want to point out, the second principle I think that we can apply easily to our lives when it comes to understanding money and wealth, is this: there is a wise way to use our wealth. Proverbs chapter 11, verses 24 through 25 says, one person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will also be refreshed. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17 says, whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have. Proverbs 22, verse 9 says, the generous will themselves be blessed, for they share their food with the poor. You know, I think sometimes in our culture and in the American church, we get so caught up arguing about or trying to figure out whether or not it's okay to be wealthy. And I'll be honest with you, poor folks take offense at the prosperity gospel, and rich folks can't imagine that God would want them to be poor. I mean, that's the difficulty. But my argument is rather than arguing about should we have wealth or not, maybe it's better to focus on what we actually do with the wealth. The truly wise person understands that how we use wealth is of far greater importance than whether or not we have wealth. Secular wisdom tells us that the person who is tight becomes wealthy. I'm sure you've all had those conversations, you know. Well, they never spend any money. That's why they have a lot of it. But biblical wisdom tells us that a person who is generous becomes wealthy. The wise way to use wealth is to be a blessing to those who don't have enough to have the basic needs of life met. As I was thinking about this kind of how do we use our wealth, I was really reminded of a scene from the movie Schindler's List. If you've never seen Schindler's List, I would highly recommend it. It kind of chronicles a portion of the life of a man named Oscar Schindler, who was a very wealthy individual. Make sure you don't want to watch it with young kids, but it kind of tells the story of how Oscar Schindler was originally a person that was seen as kind of a shrewd individual that was motivated by wealth, who kind of took advantage of the Holocaust originally to become more wealthy. But as the movie proceeds, and as, you know, Oscar Schindler is formed by relationships that he has, eventually he came to value the Jewish people. And what he did was he used his wealth to hire them to work in his factories to save them from concentration camps and death. Schindler is credited with saving between 1,100 and 1,200 Jewish individuals. And if you watch the movie, Steven Spielberg paints a beautiful picture of a man that realized how he could leverage what he had to save lives. And near the end of the movie, Schindler's kind of forced to flee because the Nazis figure out exactly what he's doing. And so in one of the final scenes, he's standing there by his car, and he's kind of saying goodbye to all these Jewish people that he has saved. And the people that worked for him were saying their goodbyes. And he breaks down, and he looks at his car, and he says, "Why? Why did I keep the car? 10 people right there." And then he kind of turns from the car, and he pulls a lapel pin off of his jacket, and he says, "This pin, 2 more people, it's gold. At least one more person, one more person." And he breaks down and weeps, and the Jewish people console him, and the scene ends with him being driven away in his car as he's looking out the back of the window, surrounded by the lives that he was able to save. And I think that really captures the story of an individual who understood, like, wealth was given to him to be a blessing to others. But the reality is, this kind of attitude and practice with our wealth only comes when we get this last principle about money and wealth from Proverbs. So this is the third thing. So if you're writing these things down, there's a wise way to gain wealth. There's a wise way to use wealth. And the third thing is this: there is a wise way to view wealth. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1 says this: "A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold." So to borrow some of the language from Dr. Martin Luther King, the content of our character is far more important than how much our bank account contains. We need to be more concerned with who we are as individuals rather than how much we have to our name. Proverbs chapter 23, verses 4 and 5 says this, which I think is interesting, because we were told if we want to gain wealth, we have to be willing to work for it. But Solomon also says this: "Do not wear yourselves out to get rich. Don't trust your own cleverness. Cast but a glance at riches and they are gone, for they will surely sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle." So here's what I want you to understand. I don't think that we are prohibited from working to gain wealth. But I think what Solomon is reminding us is that wealth should never become our focus. Wealth should never become our purpose in life. Money, possessions, they're fleeting. They're temporary. A wise view of wealth is understanding that wealth is a tool that God entrusts us with. And God is far more concerned with our character than our bank statement. God is far more concerned with whether or not we are becoming more like Christ than building up numbers and decimal points. Billy Graham said this, and I read this, and I read this, and I read this. And I think Billy Graham did some great things, but I think sometimes maybe some of the statements were more for kind of shock value or to capture your attention. But Billy Graham said this: "Tell me what you think about money, and I will tell you what you think about God. For these two are closely related. A man's heart is closer to his wallet than anything else." And as I thought about that, I just kind of reeled through all the things that Solomon says about wealth. And I'm not so sure that the mark of a wise individual is what they think about wealth. I think the mark of a wise individual is how they use their wealth. You know, the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil, not money. And we kind of live in a climate in the church where some people make money evil, some people don't. But I think there's a road down the middle that kind of Solomon points to. And it says, look, money is something that wealth is something that we all have to kind of wrestle with in this life. And we have to be aware, like, there's pitfalls to having a lot, there's pitfalls to not having enough. But here's a wise path to take. Remember, this book is all about two paths, a wise path and a foolish path. And the wise path is this, like, understanding that we live in a world where it takes money and wealth to survive. But there is a wise way to gain it, there's a wise way to use it, and there's a wise way to view it. And if we ever get to the point where we take that little slogan on those dollar bills that says, "In God we trust," and we make that bill the God, then we have wandered off of the wise path onto the foolish path. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would allow your Spirit to continue to speak to us and stir within us. We know that we are challenged every day by things that really reveal the content of our character, things that tell us who we truly are as followers of Jesus. And we know that we wrestle with concepts like money and how should we view money, how should we use money. But we are grateful that you have instructed us through these Proverbs that kind of give us a path to follow that says this is a wise way. And Lord, I pray that we would take these principles, allow your Spirit to help us apply them to our lives as individuals, but I also pray that we could do this as a body of believers, that we could really become people who model what it looks like to gain wealth the wise way, use wealth the wise way, and view wealth the wise way, all for your glory. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Worship team's going to come forward here. And as they sing this last song, I just want to kind of encourage you to take some time to reflect. This is a great opportunity to kind of quiet your inner self and listen for God's voice. Maybe this morning he's going to speak to you about a certain area of your life that deals with money. Maybe not. But I would ask that you would just be attentive to his voice and allow his Spirit to work within you this morning.